This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your busy day on this Wednesday to join me as we together trek through the Word of God. We are going to wrap up my sermon from a couple of weeks ago here, looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I just finished that book verse by verse through those five chapters, and I want to invite you out to Island Community Church this Sunday. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. I'm going to be preaching on my second favorite chapter in all the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's a look at the Apostle Paul's description of the things that have to happen first prior to the Lord snatching us out of this world. There's a short list of things that have to happen before that can happen. Love to see you Sunday morning, 10:30, 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, Sunday at 10:30. Love to see you. Look for the podcast here up on the website, WGODradio.com, and on the Facebook page, WGOD Radio. Now here's the last part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
What's God's prognosis? He loves you. God has elected you. How's that for a prognosis? A lot better than your doctor's prognosis. Ever hear a prognosis from your doctor that was wrong? Have you ever heard a prognosis from a weatherman that's been wrong? And to think they get paid $100,000 a year to do that. What do they say? Chili today and hot tamale. 100 grand. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification. There's that word again, set apart. Not to live a sinful life anymore, sanctified, called out of the world, going in this direction, following Jesus, not going in that direction, following the world. When Jesus comes back, He's coming back over here, not over here. I hope you're going the right way. Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Okay, so there's a little bit on who you are. You are elect as well. God has chosen you. And as I look around the world and see 5 billion unbelievers, the fact that God has chosen me causes me to rejoice and makes me want to shout a little bit. How about you? Because I used to be not the nice guy that you know me to be now. And God, like it says in His Word, God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Also, there's great security, is there not, in knowing that God has chosen me? If God has chosen you, what can man do to you? I mean, this is the key thing to our text here today, right? God has chosen you. If God has chosen you, what can the devil do to you? Nothing. If God has chosen you, if God is on your side, if God is for you, what can anyone or anything do to you? This doctrine helps me to sleep at night. God is on my side. Good night. Think about it. Think about this. Maybe you elected George Bush. Maybe you elected Marco Rubio. Maybe you elected the local dog catcher. But God entered into his booth and he pulled on that lever and he closed the curtains and he elected you. God has elected you. You and you and you and you and you. God's elected you. Not man. God has elected you. He got into his booth. He closed it. Yeah, you too back there. And God has elected you. I choose you. End of sentence. Hallelujah. This is why Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God has elected you. And he says, no one can come to me unless, this is what Jesus says, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me should draw him. And I'll raise him up on the last day. God has chosen you. No one can hurt that. No one can snatch you out of his hand. You can walk away from him, but he's not going to let you go. Okay, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. I like that. Not in word only, but in power. It's not just hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say to you, arise. Get up and walk. There is power in the word of God. Hello? It's not just a regular book. This book is Hebrews 4:12. The book is quick. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is alive. There's power to heal in this word. There's power to cast out demons in this word. There's power to change your circumstances. There's power to give you peace in the word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Demons be gone. The word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's not just in word only, but in power. And that's what sets the Bible apart from everything else. And it's why you can read the same book of the Bible your whole life and never get tired of it and keep gleaning something new each time. Because the book's alive. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now the response of his converts was a supernatural work of God, not a natural response to a clearly delivered sermon. When Paul preached at him, he did not just share human opinion and philosophy. Rather, his message was marked by the power of God. The Holy Spirit brought it home to their hearts with deep conviction. Now, not only did Paul and his traveling companions preach a convincing message, but they also lived lives consistent with that message when they were in Thessalonica. I mean, what good is my message to you if I don't live it, right? My life needs to have evidence of it. that God has brought about a change in my life. And I'm not the same man that I used to be. I mean, I wish you all knew me before. I mean, I was no axe murderer, but let me say this. I certainly was not a Christian before I became Christian. You all here have seen the changed man, the new and improved Paul Esposito. I wish my mother was here. And this church here is full of living testimonies who can attest to the power of God in their lives, right? Everyone here could have a testimony of all that God's done for you in your life, how you used to be, how the power of God's changed you. Let's wrap up chapter 1, verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. I guess Paul expected he was going to have to go and preach to some of these cities. And when he got there, he must have said, oh, never mind. He didn't have to, because they had done it. The Greek word here for sounded out in verse 8, the word means to roar like a lion. These were no passive believers here in Thessalonica. Maybe Paul did the whole election bit with them like I did with you. Maybe they just wanted to shout a little over what God's done in their life. Maybe they just wanted to shout a little that now, because of the grace and mercy of God, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that their eternal life was guaranteed to them. All right, last two verses. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, that's a present active participle. It ought to be delivers, present tense, who delivers us from the coming wrath. I like how he told this very same truth down the street here at First Baptist in Corinth. He said this. He says, we've had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust he will still deliver us. Notice that. Past, present, and future. I leave you with this thought today. And this truth today. That Jesus Christ is still in the delivering business. He has delivered you. Look at where you are today. He is still delivering you daily. Lord only knows how much trouble he's delivered you from today. And he will deliver you. Past, present, and future, the Son of God's got your back. My question is, does he have your heart? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I love to hear the voice of God.